Thank you for your long suffering and patience. And I thought just briefly, any comments or questions from that last session on why I believe what I believe? Any comments? What or questions or challenges? It's not a matter of salvation. Mm-hmm. To me, it's just a matter of living life. Okay, I don't even go there. I go, well, you know, I'm not saying it is or it isn't. I'm just saying this is the way Jesus teaches, so I want to follow Jesus. Jesus said in 1 Peter chapter 2, he says he did this so we would walk in his footsteps. Another place he says, if any man comes after me, let him pick up his cross. Let him, first of all, deny himself. That's taking care of the iniquity. Pick up his cross and follow me. Walk in my footsteps. So, to me, that's what we're trying to do as a church, as a people, as believers. Let's walk in Jesus' footsteps. Can we follow any better footsteps? I can't think of any. And then we talked last night about, you know, taking on his image and being like him. And that's what he wants us to do. Thank you for that. Yeah, I just simply say I'm not going to even engage that one, because to me it's just I'm going to follow Jesus. Any other questions or comments or statements or yeah? The pendulum? Yeah, pretty well illustrates what happens, isn't it? Grace, truth. That's, to me, that's where that pendulum needs to stay. Thank you for that, Ruth. Yeah. Any other comments, questions? Okay. Let's look at the second one. I'll see how fast I can go through it. Oh, okay. This teaching, I probably do more than any other teaching. In the beginning, I hide the first slide. The first slide says everywhere I've taught it. This one has a list this long. I teach it almost everywhere I go. Bound by missing links. I call this the true foundations for life. And you know, if we have a chain, we know if there's missing links, you can't bind anything. But the people that I've worked with over the years of hurting people, I find more people are bound by missing links than the links that are there. So here, two categories of trauma. B-type trauma is things that are harmful by their presence. Physical, verbal, sexual, abandonment, excessive discipline, observing abuse. That's B-type trauma where all those things are present. Harmful by their presence. I see more people damaged by harmful by absence. Now I want you to hear something. Almost everyone who has B-type trauma has type A trauma, because type B trauma wouldn't, probably for the most part, wouldn't happen if type A trauma wasn't there first. So can you hang on to that one a little bit? Because what I'd like to talk to you about is trauma-proofing your children and finding healing for our own trauma as we look at this picture. All of us have been through difficult times. Somebody said that a bad experience only becomes trauma if you don't have anybody to walk it through with you. So even if you have a child, if you're one of your children would be abused or go through a difficult time, if you can walk alongside of them, take them and walk them through it, it can be a very difficult situation for them to deal with. But oftentimes the trauma comes out of because we never had anybody to walk through it with us, and then it becomes traumatic to us. I don't know if that makes any sense or not. But harmful by absence, not experiencing unconditional love. I'm totally convinced that God, we're going to get there. Not experiencing unconditional love. Somebody who will listen, understand, and care. So dads, moms, grandpas, and grandmas, really pay attention, because I just believe that we must get this. And all you young people too, because you don't know what your future is, but you need this too. It's just something that's really, really important. Someone who will listen, understand, and care. Not knowing the joy of being a delight. Does anybody here not want to be a delight in somebody's eyes? Okay. What does it mean to be a delight in somebody's eyes? Well, you know, I could say Hi, my name's Jason. What's yours?
Mine's Kirby.
Kirby. Mm-hmm. Big deal. But if I say, Kirby, how are you?
Great.
Okay. You see, your face, your eyes, your tone of voice, your expressions communicate delight. Every one of us longs to be a delight in somebody's eyes. So why don't we intentionally try and give people delight? I try and do that with my grandchildren. They stay overnight, and when I hear those little patter of footsteps coming down the steps, we live in an old house and I hear the footsteps coming down through. When they come around the corner, I want them to see Papaw go, hey! And they come running and jump on my lap, and they snuggle in. That's what I want them to see delight. I want them to know that they're delighted in. Everyone longs to be a delight. Not receiving appropriate affection. God designed us for touch. He designed us for affection. He did. He wired us this way. And so you want to give your children appropriate affection. I tell people, start hugging your children and holding them when they're little, and don't ever quit hugging them until my children. I did tell you this before. They're 45 and 41. My son's 45. He and I wrestled and boxed and everything else. But you know what? When we see each other, we still give each other hugs. My daughter's 41 years old. She's still my princess. She gets hugs. She will never quit getting hugs as long as I'm alive. Okay, it's just okay. But if you touch them inappropriately, you're going to damage them for life. Not taught the important things in life. You want to teach your children how to handle life. You want to teach them how to balance a checkbook. You want to well, you don't have to do that anymore, right? It's all done on a computer. Okay. But how to manage money? How to handle a credit card? Oh my goodness! I was just working with a man. He ran up. He's married. His children. He ran up $80,000+ on his credit card, and scary. He was never taught how to manage money. Wow. Not taught to persist in doing hard things. Teach your children to do hard things and then to follow through on them. And if you give them too big of a task, help them do it. But teach them to follow through and get things done. That's that work ethic we were talking about. Not helping in developing personal skills. See what bent your children are. We're supposed to raise up a child, train up a child in the way he should go, or you know, he or she should go. See what their bent is and then help them achieve it. Okay? Our children are all different, but they have bents, and you help them get there. Three building blocks that produce security, freedom, strength, and courage. When I say foundation, welcome to Foundations for Life. These are the foundations for life. Right here they are. Okay, it's belonging, it's love, and it's significance. Those are the three things that I believe that God wired every single one of us to need. And here's where it comes from. Here's where it comes from. Right here. Jesus received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, okay, this is in 2 Peter 1:17. Jesus heard twice from his Father, once when he was baptized, once on the Mount of Transfiguration, and it is found, I believe, seven times in the scriptures. And I think here in Peter, he says it the best. But look what he says there. Jesus received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, and right before that, Peter says, we were there on the mount with him when he heard this. We were present. We heard it happen. We saw it. And here he's saying, Jesus received honor and glory from his daddy. Now, if you think Jesus received, if God, his Father, thought Jesus needed it, do you think your children might need it too? Just a question. I believe so. I believe these are foundational truths, and here they are. This is my beloved son. I'm well pleased with him. Hear him. So what do you get here? This is my son, my beloved son. This belonging. This is my son. This is my beloved son. That's love. I'm well pleased with him. That's significance. You know, my goal in my children was, and now my grandchildren, you know, when I'm holding them, they come down, they jump on my lap, and we're sitting there snuggling in the morning, I just say, I'm so glad I can be your papaw. I'm speaking belonging to them. I love you so much, and I will never quit loving you. I paddled my grandson one time, and he was crying, and I only paddled him once. But he broke his heart. It broke his heart because he never thought Papa would paddle him. But he was beating the crap out of his little brother, and I wasn't going to put up with that. So I paddled him. But then I took him and I held him and I just snuggled with him and I said, Cameron, I love you so much. And you can break my heart, but you'll never get me to quit loving you. I will love you as long as there's breath in me. You see, that's unconditional love. Okay? And I just try and build up my children, grandchildren, but I try and build my wife up like that. I try and build the people up at church. That's just what I try to do. I want to be a life giver. I want to be an encourager. I want to give people belonging, love, and significance. We can do that. I just got a note from my pastor back home and said, I'm praying for you. How's it going? And I just wrote back and said, thank you, Daryl. Thank you for caring. Thank you for communicating with me. I said, you're just such a blessing to me. So good to have you for my pastor. Do you know why I just said? You belong to me. I belong to you. I care about you. And I do you know what I ended it with? My pastor. Well, there's red hearts. Aren't I goofy, huh? No, I want him to know I love him. And I do. You see, we can do this. We can do this. Anybody here not want to be loved? Or belong, or feel significant? Every one of us. We need it. We can give it to each other. We can give it to our husbands. We can give it to our wives. We can give it to our children. We can give it to our parents. It's something we can do. Jesus got it from his Father. Jesus told him, the Son of Man will be handed over to the Gentiles by his own people. They're going to be rejected. He's going to be rejected. He's going to get betrayed. And then they're going to mock him. They're going to insult him. They'll spit on him. They're going to flog him. They're going to kill him. God knew all that. I am convinced, you know, life is hard, life's difficult, but I believe that God knew that his Son would need belonging, love, and significance so he could endure what he was going to go through. And don't you think that your children are going to need those things to get through life too? I believe that with all my heart. We need belonging, love, and significance. Give it to your children. Give it to each other. What happens when these are damaged or missing? A life spent trying to fill the void. I'm just telling you, do you ever watch people? When these are missing, it's a life spent trying to fill the void. It's performance, attention driven. I was always trying to get attention. Here I am up front trying to get attention. No. But depression, worthlessness. You see the opposite. It's either performance or attention driven, or it's depression and worthlessness. It'll all come out one way or the other. Escape addictive behaviors. We see people all the time escape and addictive behaviors. It's why we use our cell phones for things. Sexual sin, porn, masturbation, things like that are. Our medication for loneliness and not belonging, not being loved, not being cared for, not feeling significant. I'm just telling you, it is. Codependent relationships. And our relationships struggle. Relationships struggle because they can't bear the weight of our neediness. And then two people who are missing love and belonging, love and significance, and they get married, and you know what they do? They try and get it from each other, and then they end up. If you raise children who really are grown up with solid belonging, love, and significance, and they marry somebody with belonging, love, and significance, most of the problems are going to go away. Because you don't need to get it from the other person. But when they're missing, you have a tendency to grab a hold and want it, and you go after it, and it makes you struggle. Brené Brown, anybody here? Brené Brown, she did her doctoral work on shame and see some heads. I like her. But she's not a Christian, sort of. I sort of heard that she sort of might be, but she's, to me, I don't think she really is. But I love, and I use her as an illustration because I love when people who have done deep, deep studies come up with the same answers that the scriptures come up with. And she did her doctoral work on shame and inadequacy. And so she says, we are biologically, cognitively, physically, and spiritually wired to be loved and to belong. Isn't that amazing? She interviewed, I don't know, it was probably over 1,000 people. She did a lot of research on her doctoral work. But she goes, when these needs are not met, we break, we fall apart, we numb, we ache, we hurt others, and we get sick. pretty amazing. There's insufficient funds in our emotional bank account. That's why you want to give each other these things. Because when you really feel like you belong, you feel like you're loved, you feel like you're cared for, your heart can rest. Your heart can rest. Does it make any sense? So here's discipline built on belonging, love, and significance. Boundaries, lovingly and firmly placed, produce security and liberty. So down here at the bottom, you have, when you're raising your children, when they're young, you put the boundaries more heavily in place, but you want to replace law with principle. Okay, we live alongside of a road that's reasonably busy. When we first moved there, it wasn't, but it's much busier. But about 20 yards, maybe not even that, to the road from our front porch, and then the mailbox is across the road. Well, when our children were little, we just told them, you may not play in the front yard. You must play in the backyard. There's plenty of room in the backyard. Do not play in the front yard. That was a law. And then when we needed to go get the mail, we would carry them out, and we would walk out there with them, and we'd stop at the end of the road, and we'd look both ways, and then we would walk across. And so what were we doing? We were teaching them that when you go out to the road to get the mail, you look both ways, you listen, because there's a curve there, but you can hear people coming. But we would not send our children out there because it wasn't safe for them to cross a busy road. But gradually, as they got older, we would take them by the hand and walk them out, and then we'd say, let's look both ways. Okay, and after a while, we'd stand on the porch and say, hey, go out there and you can get the mail, but stop and look and listen. We'd watch. Okay, what were we doing? We were replacing law, don't be out there, with teaching them principles, how to safely cross the road. And after they were trained well, we'd just say, hey, go get the mail. And they'd go get the mail. We wouldn't even pay attention. You see, if you don't do that, your children don't grow up and become mature. You must replace law with principle. And when you do that, you teach them grace and truth, and you show them, you allow them to grow up and be mature people, and it shows them right concepts of God, because this is God. He's very balanced. He's very balanced. It's His justice and His mercy. That's the kind of parents you want to be, a parent of justice and mercy, because God is a God of justice and mercy. Discipline built on performance-based acceptance. You have walls, and those walls create feelings of being controlled or trapped. And it produces anger and rebellion. Some of us were raised that way, with very stern, strict parents who just laid down the law, and this is the way it's going to be. And so we were governed by fear instead of by love. Are you sort of with me? Okay, and so when you raise your children that way, it produces anger and rebellion. We wonder why people get out and do stupid things. It's because they feel trapped. And yeah, there's exceptions to all these. But there's an overbalance on God's truth, and so there's truth and severity. But belonging, love, and significance, they're there, but they're not in place. One's upside down. They're just not there in a healthy way. But then you see, instead of discipline, even if you think you're disciplining your children, if belonging, love, and significance are not firmly in place, it comes across as punishment, even though you mean it as discipline. And it damages. And they get resentful. Are you with me a bit? Okay, pretty important stuff. And it says, I'm not loved. And it produces wrong concepts of God, which we talked about yesterday morning. And then, of course, what happens is then the pendulum swings the other way, and then we just, somebody who was raised very strict oftentimes will just not have boundaries. And then there's a lack of respect for authority. There's insecurity disguised as arrogance. There's a lack of self-discipline. There's irresponsibility, and you raise children in adult bodies. You know anybody like that? Don't raise your hand, okay? But what it does, it says, I'm not significant enough for them to care, and it produces wrong concepts of God. I'm really buzzing through this, okay? Oftentimes I'll spend a lot of time on each of these, but I'm fighting the clock and your weariness. Thanks for bearing with me. But you see, when you have those three things in place and discipline on top of it, you see, discipline proves belonging. Okay? Whom a father loves, he will discipline. You see, discipline proves belonging. How many of you discipline your neighbor children? Hands? How many of you want to discipline your neighbor children? Okay. Why? Why don't you discipline your neighbor children? Because they don't belong to you. But the Father will discipline you, and you want to discipline your children. But if love and belonging and significance are there, you can discipline them, and you're okay. You're okay. It won't destroy them. But if it's not there, then it comes across as punishment, and you're going to damage. Because you see, when you have that in place, then you can live life. And life is going to be difficult for your children. It's not going to be easy. But if they get love and belonging and significance, they can handle life. So I have a question. What do we do when we're missing these? So please hear this. Okay, now this is where we're going to wrap up. Okay, I'll try and bump through it pretty quickly. I usually spend an hour teaching this, and we're going to try and get it out of there a lot quicker. So please bear with me. What do we do when we're missing these? What if you weren't given belonging, love, and significance? God wants you to get it from Him. He wants you to hear. We need to receive honor from God, our Father, by hearing His voice. So I want to pray right now. I want to say, Father, we're going to be looking at your truth, your scripture that you plan to be put there for this very purpose and reason. Would you take the truth that we're getting ready to look at from your word, and would you plant it deep in the heart and spirit of each person who is struggling because perhaps they never received belonging, love, and significance in their home life as a little child, a little boy, or a little girl. Would you take this time, this evening, to heal those vacant spots and fill those vacant spots by the truth of your word that we're going to look at right now? Would you do that, please, in the name of Jesus? Amen and amen. So look what we're going to hear, okay? This is Scripture. Do you believe Scripture? Do you believe it's true? Okay. Are you willing to receive Scripture as truth? Can you do that? Okay, let's see what it says. Whoops, that's not it. I know and feel that I belong and am loved. 1 John 3, verse 1. It's one of my favorite scriptures. How great is the love the Father has dabbed on us. Just a little bit, right? No, it says He lavished on us. The King James says bestowed. How great is the love the Father has lavished on you, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. Do you see that? God is saying, John is saying through John, behold what manner of love it is that we can be called the children of God. Is that significant? Oh, my word, it is. How great's the love the Father's lavished us, and that we can be called the children of God. That's what we are. We belong to Him. We are His. He loves us so intently, beyond comprehension, that He sent heaven's best. No greater love than this, that a man would lay down his life. And Jesus, God, became one of us. Emmanuel, God with us. He entered our pain and He died for us because He loved us so intensely. Our Father loves us. Ephesians 3, 17 and 19, it says, I pray that you being rooted and established in love. See, that's the foundations. That's why I call it the foundations for life. Rooted and established in love. May have the power to grasp. Okay, rooted and established in love, may have the power to grasp. I put up there, I am loved and feel loved. How important it is to feel loved. In working with hurting people, I will say, hey, if I'm talking to parents, I say, do you love your children? Well, of course I love my children. When I'm talking to the children, I say, do your parents love you? Yes, my parents love you. And then I ask this question, did you feel loved by your parents? No. You see, you can know intellectually that they loved you, but if you didn't feel loved, it's not a reality. It's not in here. It's up here. It's not in here. Okay? Here's Paul saying, I'm praying that God would give you the capacity to feel it, the power to grasp it. Okay? Pray it for yourself. Father, help me to grasp how loved I am. I want to be so rooted and established in love that I can base my life on this. I can take this to the bank and make a big deposit in my emotional bank account. And he says that you may have the power to grasp how wide, How long? How high? How deep? Can you measure any of those? They are immeasurable. How high is high? How wide is wide? How deep is deep? You can't measure them. You see, he's saying, I'm praying that God would give you the ability to grasp that his love for you is immeasurable. Immeasurable. That's how loved you are. Beyond comprehension. To know this love. I am loved. I feel loved. And he says, he continues after that, it says, to know this love that passes knowledge and understanding. It is above all. Rooted and grounded in a love that's beyond our comprehension. And then Jesus in his high priestly prayer. I don't know about you. I have a hard time grasping this. Can we do that again? To let the whole world know. He says, I'm trying to tell them, Father, that you love them as much as you love me. Can you wrap your brain around that? I can't either. Can you wrap your brain? Ruth, can you believe that God loves you as much as he loved Jesus? Yeah. But he does. Jesus is telling us that. We're joint heirs with him. We are loved beyond comprehension. And then your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you, whom you receive from God. That is significance. He chose you to live inside of you. Wow. Wow. And then you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Right there is love, belonging, and significance all wrapped up together. You are a chosen royal priesthood. You belong to God. That's amazing. That's who you are. Can you say that's who I am? That's who I am? Wow. I know where the boundaries are. What's acceptable and not acceptable. The Lord disciplines the one he loves. He chastens everyone he accepts as a son. And you see, when you have that, I belong. I know. I feel that belonging. I am loved and feel loved. I feel wanted and important to God. And through his word, I know where the boundaries are and what's acceptable and not acceptable. And when I have that, I can build life on that. And life's not going to be easy. But I can build my life on it because I know that I have belonging, love, and significance from God the Father. Even if you never got it from your daddy and your mommy, you can get it from the Father right now. That's the purpose of this right now, is you can get it from the Father right now. We're done. Father, this truth is so precious. This truth is so precious. It is so vital. Father, would you place this truth so deep in every one of us that we can count on this. We can take this as a huge deposit and put it in the bank of our emotional bank account so that we can rest and our hearts can rest knowing how loved we are and that we belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory and we get to call you Daddy. That's amazing. That's amazing. You love us so much. We belong to you and we are significant to you, so significant that you choose to live in us. Would you place that so deep in our hearts? May we take that home with us. May we rest tonight knowing how loved and how belonging and how significant we are to you. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Any comments on that one? We put the pedal to the metal, so what do you think? What do you think of the foundations? Belonging, love, and significance. She wants to bear testimony. It's universal. Absolutely universal. Crosses boundaries, every boundary you can imagine. Yeah, it's who we are. Thank you for being here, putting up with an old guy talking. Just desire that God would speak. and God would teach us and change us and mold us into His image. Any announcements that need to be made?